It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Access of Easy, a coffee rip. It's 7:15 in the morning here, Friday, September 15th. I'm drinking coffee anyway. My name is Joey, here with my co-host, Len. Buddy, what's going on?
I'm a water dude, so I'm always drinking my water. And so coffee, I tend not to drink. And it's good, man. It's good. It's the start of a very good day over here. I'm going to go play some golf later this morning. And I'm going to enjoy it as much as possible. It's my day off. So, yeah, how are things over there?
Pretty good. I'll be doing my French. I got my test date booked for my oral exam. I forgot to tell you that yesterday. So, yeah, we're coming off a night with some friends. So we didn't have time to record the show yesterday. But we are raring to go here. So we may as well get right into things. Don't forget, you can subscribe to the Access of Easy newsletter at accessofeasy.com. Get a discount when you buy something with EasyDNS after you sign up. Just your email is all it takes. There's no spam. The newsletter is always full of good information. And, of course, you can subscribe to this podcast where you get your podcasts or on YouTube. We're here every week going through the top stories. So this is number 315, as I mentioned. Last week's quote of the week, Len. It takes considerable knowledge just to realize that the extent of your own ignorance. That was by Thomas Sowell. No winner last week. This week's quote, political satire became obsolete when Henry Kissinger won the Nobel Peace Prize. That's up to you to find, dear listener, viewer. No looking, no cheating. Make sure you put it in the comments. And if you do,
is he still around?
Or you get a full break on your next renewal. He is still around. He's aging rapidly, but he is still around. So we should
he was while we can. Secretary of State under Nixon. Is that was his role? Like, so, that was, you know, how many administrations ago is that? Man, think about it. 1971 was when we got off the gold standard. I mean,
Making movies about the Nixon administration with Woody Harrelson. And in the movies, there's no technology or people that I recognize. So that's how long ago it was. It was a long time, very long time. But yeah, he's become quite a highly regarded economic and philosophical thinker. So definitely a guy worth following or reading if you haven't already. Anyways, Len, handful of stories today. Let's hop right in.
Yeah, we'll talk about some AI and how it's causing a lot of people issues. And well, according to the 2023 cyber threat report, this was by the DomainSure Risk Intelligent Corp, email-based phishing attacks, they have surged 464% in the first half of just this year, 2023. That was compared to the previous year. And the increase is attributed to the rapidly evolving landscape of AI technologies, which are playing an increasing role of phishing attacks. So it's not just for people creating memes with cats and all that stuff. They're using it for nefarious ways, including phishing attacks. AI technologies are being used to create more sophisticated and personalized phishing emails that are more likely to fool victims to obtain sensible information, such as passwords, credit card information, social security numbers, or SIN in Canada. This is done by posing as a legitimate organization or individual. And there are ways to defend against phishing attacks. Organizations, they have some responsibility that they should be doing, and they can implement some multi-layer defense strategies, including educating employees on how to identify and avoid phishing emails, using email security solutions to filter out phishing emails. Mm-hmm. They could implement multi-factor authentication to add an extra layer of security to user accounts, and they could regularly monitor networks and systems for signs of phishing attacks. But also, the onus could be also placed on the individuals or ourselves. And what we should do, of course, talk about it all the time, is never click on emails or links in emails that from unknown people. So that could be phishing attacks. Hover over the links just to see if the URL is the actual link that you want to be clicking. It could be fake, and you could easily tell it just by looking at the URL. Be careful of emails that are asking for sensitive information, like passwords, mm-hmm. credit card information, and there's always like the ones that are just thrown around, the Prince of Nigeria scam, the CEO fraud scam, the tech support scam, lottery scam, work from home scam. These are all common ones that are being thrown out there. So if you see any of these, or even something that's adjacent to it, be very careful, because could be a phishing attack, could be after your information.
Agreed. Quite a report here. Interesting that among the continuing to be among the leaders of these phishing attacks. It's sort of the least sophisticated way to grab data from somebody, but it's proven to be the most effective. I think that's just probably because of surface area volume, right? If you send out a million Nigerian prince emails, like we've talked about before, this sort of game theory is that if someone reads the email, you're fairly likely to get it clicked through. So I don't know what else to say about that. But yeah, good report here from DomainShare. We'll talk a bit more about them later in the show. But yeah, it's not a good time to be a security illiterate tech user. I'll say that much. We'll leave it there.
So if you're aging rapidly,
I'm trying to be so nice there. Like, just don't mess it up, okay?
So Henry Kissinger, you better you better brush up on your privacy things. Anyways, let's move on. There's a story about Threads. We haven't talked about Threads for a little while.
Has anyone talked about Threads in the last 3 months?
It's basically apparently somebody is. We are now. You secured a very, I guess, a good email or username on Threads, didn't you, when it first spun up, right?
Yeah, my Instagram handle, I won't share it here, but yeah, it's widely coveted. People, when I tell them what it is, they can't believe that I have it. But I've been a member of Instagram for so long. No, it's not CBP Joey. It's something else, but I'm not going to.
Oh, I was going to say, it's not the same one as Twitter?
No.
Okay. Well, Threads, they're blocking searches related to COVID vaccines, coronavirus, and all that stuff that's they feel to be disinformation. So this is the new social media platform. It's blacklisting search terms that are related to COVID-19 vaccines, and this is an effort for them to combat misinformation. And Thread users can no longer search for terms such as COVID-19 vaccination or COVID-19 vaccine or coronavirus or even pandemic. And when a user enters these terms into the search, they are presented with a message saying the search term is currently not available. And the Thread CEO, Bill Ott, was on record saying that the company decided to blacklist the search term because it was concerned about the spread of misinformation. And he said the company has seen a sharp increase in the number of posts spreading misinformation about COVID-19 in the recent months. And this decision has been met with a lot of criticism by some users, of course, and they argue this is a form of censorship. No doubt it is. And however, Mr. Ott was defending his decision, saying it's necessary to do this to protect its users from misinformation. As we approach now the winter months and as we gather closer together, because we're spending less time outdoors and more time indoors and closer to each other, the likelihood of spreading anything is increased as a result. And then also on top of that, there's a potential to self-misdiagnose COVID for the flu or vice versa. So
for sure,
if you do get something, it could be one or could be the other. It could be both even. So a lot of this, people are left wondering what to do. And then all this information about the how healthy or how safe it is to take a vaccine. I'm not saying it is or isn't. I don't want to get banned. And anyway, do your own research. A lot of people are asking questions, a lot more questions than they were doing in the past. And it's too bad that this company is censoring a lot of this information, because we should be sharing it rather than getting it from the same old sources that spoon fed us information in the past that may not have been truthworthy.
Yeah. If it looks like a Facebook and it quacks like a Facebook, it's a Facebook. And Threads, as we know, is a Facebook product or a Meta product. Not surprising. The thing that is surprising is that people use the platform. I've not been there since I signed up for it, but I believe that you can't have your own curated feed. You follow people, but it doesn't actually just let you look at the feed of people you're following. Chances are that, unlike Twitter, and you can say what you want about Twitter or X or whatever, and the algo feed, the For You feed, but generally speaking, the For You feed for me, though, yes, it does make me upset, is also a feed that I am engaged with more than I was in the past. And Threads, I think, is trying to do the opposite now, where they're controlling the narrative and force feeding you stuff that's probably, you know, state approved. I don't see how else you would quantify the things you just mentioned there. No vaccine talk, no COVID talk. At a time when KJP is on the press is in the press gallery talking about masking and vaccines again, 3 years on here. What can you say, Len? I think that much like the people who continue to be wrapped up in the original narrative of all these things, whether it's COVID or Ukraine or whatever, there's not really much hope for them. And I don't expect that they're going to leave Threads or Facebook and others continue to be stuck in this loop, right? You know who they are at your family dinners, you know who they are at your workplace. They're not getting the information from anywhere else. And so you know, not much else to say about that. I mean, choose wisely where you spend your time, who you spend your time with. And, you know, there was a time when it was almost, you know, sport to be the node in your friend group for quality information that wasn't readily available. And now it's just not worth it. Like, I don't know how you feel. We talked about this a bit last night. Like, it's just not worth it. It's the accelerate theory, right? That you'd rather just let these people crash and burn and touch the stove. And I think that's where we are with a lot of this stuff, for sure, with Meta and related services.
Screw them. And the UK, yeah. We can move over to them. And we talked in the past about the online safety bill. And it looks like the UK government has come to its senses and they have backed down on a controversial clause in this safety bill. And that clause would require tech companies to provide and scan private communications for illegal and harmful content. Now, how bad could this be used, especially if it's just used for illegal and harmful content? And how far else could that go a little bit beyond that? But anyways, the government has admitted that the technology to do this does not currently exist and it would not be technically feasible to implement it. So really, this is probably just fluff that they're saying that they made a mistake, but who knows? I think that the technology does exist, if you ask me, and they could easily implement it or create it, but whatever. The clause was known as Clause 122, and it was widely criticized by privacy advocates and tech companies. And they argued it would lead to mass surveillance of online users and would undermine end-to-end encryption. And the government said it would continue to work to developing the technology that would allow to scan private communications for illegal and harmful content without undermining end-to-end encryption. However, it's not given any indication of when this technology might be available or whether it will be able to develop it at all. They'll probably outsource it more than anything. Mm-hmm. I don't think they'll do it within house. And the government said it's going to focus on other measures to protect online users, such as requiring tech companies to remove illegal content or harmful content from their platform to protect children from online harm. It's always the protection of the children that they use.
Drink when they say children.
Yeah. And then unfortunately that leads to mass surveillance and they put up cameras all over. So you can't drive within the city. You got to remain there, get charged when you move out of that 15 minute city. But it's UK is turning into a real disaster in some cases. So yeah, the backing down of Clause 122, it's a victory for privacy advocates and tech companies, but this is just a temporary victory because as they mentioned, it looks like they're still going to be moving forward to looking for ways to implement this. And I suspect if they want it, if there's a will, there's a way. They could print money to pay somebody to do it. And it's easy way to get it done. Outsource it, have somebody else do it. And if they screw up, heck, you know, who cares? Who loses in the end? The citizens. But in reality, they don't really give a shit in the end. It's just another nail in the coffin for our privacy that we don't have it. They want to take it over from. They want to take it from us. And even end-to-end encryption. That's too bad because stuff like Signal session, stuff like that, we rely on it. If they're going to be encroaching on that, that's crap.
It never ends. And you know, Len, here's a question for you, okay? Since I'm in the conspiratorial mood here, starting to get hopped up on caffeine, how long is it going to be until there's a public service campaign or a publicly funded campaign implying that if you demand encryption, you are a pedophile of sorts or pedophile adjacent or anything of this nature? It seems to me like the messaging is becoming more extreme. And when I pair this with what you're seeing on Threads, what we just talked about, and honestly, like you did see it on Twitter too. And there's no guarantee. There remains no guarantee that you will not see it on Twitter again, but there's going to be a focused assault on the privacy of your communications. That's the next thing that's coming. And again, I tell people this all the time. In the Bitcoin space, there's a lot of normies who come to our other show, like they come to the CBP and are like, are you guys sure that the government is like trying to limit your privacy, limit your movement and all this? And I say, yeah. And you have to frame it through the same lens all the time to make it make sense. It is meant to inhibit mobility. You mentioned the 15 minute cities there, the cameras that are taxing you for getting too far away from your neighborhood, meant to limit mobility and meant to increase the ease with which they can collect taxes from you. And if you frame it through those two lenses, all this stuff starts to make sense. They want to know who you're talking to, where you're sending money, you know, Bitcoin, how many times are you typing in Bitcoin wallet addresses or Lightning QR codes and all this different stuff. It's going to start happening more and more. And I fear that most people won't get it and won't care until it's too late. And so that's why it's important, you know, not to make this a Bitcoin story, but it's important to have stuff that's outside of the traditional rails, whether it's communications, so encrypted apps. You know, I would even say you start with something like iMessage or Google. It has a similar encrypted service and an encrypted service for Android phones. Move to something like Signal or Telegram, whatever, or even something harsher than that, Session or X, I think, is the other messaging app. And same with Bitcoin, right? Get some money, some wealth that's outside the system that can't be controlled or censored, because it's very clear directionally, something we talk about all the time here and on CBP, where this is going. You're headed towards this panopticon digital, the algorithm ghetto, as Hrvoje Mrotić likes to say. It's coming fast and furious. And by the time you realize you should have done something about it, it's going to be too late. And so instead of voting harder, try actually doing something with your money and your messaging, and figure it out now before it's impossible to do so.
It makes me wonder how much of that information that we talked about yesterday at our dinner was captured by the phones.
All of it. that waitress was around way too much. You notice they had one on each side of the table too. It's like a surround sound. They had the mics out. May as well have the boom arms up.
It was a good discussion. Anyway, we'll talk about Microsoft. And in July 2023, Microsoft disclosed that a group of Chinese hackers known as Storm 0558 Thumbs Down. If it was Storm something else, I would give it a better rating, but just Storm in a few numbers.
Like, I can even think of a better, like, why not call yourself like Shrapnel Storm? That's a good name. I just thought of that right now. That's like a 3.5. You could get a 3.5 out of me for that. But Storm 055, whatever, like, I don't want to hear it, man. You can do better.
There's got to be like an AI for generating names, like just specifically for that. And it should be able to spit you out much better names than Storm 0558. It's $1 million idea. I'm going to do that right now after I finish the show. Anyways,
I have Bing open. I'll ask it while you keep the stories going.
All right. Well, this hacker group, they stole a Microsoft account, an MSA consumer signing key. We talked about this on a previous show. And this key was then used to sign malicious emails that appear to be from legitimate sources, such as Microsoft itself or other well-known companies. And these emails were used to trick Outlook users into clicking on malicious links or opening attachments, which infected their computers with malware. So, Joey, do you have an answer for that question before I go on about the name?
It's still coming up with an answer.
Oh, man. Bing is coming up 3 thumbs down. So Microsoft has since revoked the stolen signing key and implemented additional security measures to prevent future attacks. However, the incident highlights the importance of being vigilant with email security and taking the steps to protect yourself from phishing attacks. I mentioned all these at the beginning of the show. We're just rehashing it again. I'm not going to say what they are, but some other things you could use is strong password manager, or don't even use a password manager. Do it by yourself. Be your own password manager and create very strong and unique passwords for all online accounts. But also keep your software up to date, including your operating system, web browser, and email client. We'll be talking about the web browser in just a moment. So these are some of the things you could do. And this is just interesting. Microsoft was hit by this attack by these hacking group. And even the biggest companies could have very sensitive information stolen from them. Nobody is safe. So do your part, user.
They won't even give me the fictional names for a hacker group. But again, like we talk about like data being given away by people basically by clicking links and downloading attachments and emails. Like, how hard is it not to do that? Outlook, I use Outlook for work. So do you. And Outlook is pretty good.
Edge. I'm an Edge dude at work. They got rid of my Outlook.
You don't use Outlook?
No, they got rid of my Outlook. It's only Edge for work. And so for work. If I have an option, I would never use it.
So you're using Outlook, but in the browser, right?
Oh, no. Sorry. My bad. Sorry. I use Outlook. My mistake. I thought you meant Internet Explorer. My mistake. I use Outlook for my work. Yeah, yeah.
Right. So like Outlook, at least in our iteration, the one that you and I use, is pretty good about like telling you what's a scam and what's not. It's not that hard to figure out, honestly, for human intelligence anyway. At least it shouldn't be. I don't want to talk too much about everyone's human intelligence. Maybe it's a little bit lacking these days.
But that's done by the company.
But they should be able to make this. Like, again, the problem I have with these stories is that the problems are always the same, right? Sometimes it's Microsoft. Yeah, we talked about like the signing key a few weeks ago. But oftentimes the story is people downloaded or clicked on a link they shouldn't have downloaded or clicked on. And I can't figure out why the software can't make this determination. Even Gmail in browser Gmail, I won't talk about the app, but in browser Gmail does a good job with this too. It always delivers you a warning like, hey, this is a strange address. This is probably a strange attachment. Don't download this until you're absolutely sure. And I can't figure out why people are not heeding the warning. Like, at some level, then, what is the, where is the blame to be placed here?
Well, in this case, because they had the signing key, it looked like the email what came from legitimate from the actual source. Yeah, but, if your boss sends you an email, you're going to click on it.
But they know that, right? Microsoft knows that. So why not make the tag? Like, I want to see, the one thing that's never in these stories, these articles, is what the tag looks like. What does the UI look like when these things come through? Is there a note on the email? Is there anything at all related to how this thing might be fraudulent? That's what I'm curious about. That's sort of what I mean to say. Like why, either they're not doing it and it's their fault. You're right. Microsoft's problem. Or they are doing it and people are still clicking through. That's what I really want to know, because this is not a new story. We talked about all this stuff like for weeks now, especially this particular thing, and doesn't seem like there's been any remedy. There's no evidence of what the remedy looks like. So I don't know, like, where am I supposed to lay the blame here? Someone's to blame. I don't know who at this point.
It's Storm 0558. Let's blame the hacker group for creating that crappy name. And no, it's obviously, you know, it's shared blame. It's between the user and Microsoft. It's Microsoft itself for somehow getting this key stolen. But
I believe this is the case. Yeah.
Well, let's move on. We'll talk about Mozilla. I don't think we've talked about them at all. They've released an emergency security update to fix a critical zero-day vulnerability in Firefox and Thunderbird, and that has been actively exploited in the wild. And it was a heap buffer overflow in the WebP image format that could result in arbitrary code execution when processing specially crafted image. So you look at the image, and then unfortunately there will be some code associated with it. It'll run, and who knows what they stole. Mm-hmm. And Mozilla said in an advisory that they were aware of the issue being exploited in other products in the wild, and the company urged users to update to Firefox 117.0.1. And I checked my Firefox to see which version it is. It is the updated version. So when I read this, mine was already updated. So Google's also released a patch to close a vulnerability in Chrome on this past Monday. And WebP is a modern image format that is supported by all major web browser. It is designed to provide better compression than other image formats such as JPEG or PNG without sacrificing quality. And this is a serious vulnerability flaw that could attack users and take control of a user's computer. So it's very important for people out there that have Firefox, Thunderbird, update these programs to ensure that you can close the loop and you're protected from this vulnerability.
When I see buffer overflow, I know it's a serious vulnerability, because this is also a problem in otherwise secure Bitcoin wallets that use cameras to identify QR codes. The buffer overflow that's possible in hardware related to photos is significant. That's a significant surface area for attack. So this is important to do. I would suggest to people that they look up some of the key software and hardware they use and see if there's been buffer overflow vulnerabilities in the past, and decide whether or not you want to continue to use them. I don't use Mozilla. I haven't in a long time. I remember when I was in university, like, you know, fiddling around with all sorts of different browsers. I remember using Jolly Cloud as an OS. Like, it was like the first cloud-based OS that I ever used. It's a Linux skin. Anyway, story for another time. But yeah, interesting that buffer overflows are starting to show up in these, traditionally safe pieces of software. Like you mentioned, we've been doing this show for 5 months now, 6 months, something like that. And we've never talked about Mozilla, but here we are.
And nothing is secure. As long as you have a complicated set of code, and we're dealing with web browsers, they do get very complex.
Yeah,
they need to be constantly updated, because there's people are going to find new ways to attack it. And this, nothing is secure. Even Bitcoin eventually will find, and there'll be an attack against it that will temporarily bring it down, but then there'll be an update to it. I'm sure of that. That's my thinking, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
So online brand integrity transcends the cool factor, and it symbolizes a commitment to excellence, a pledge to your prospects and customers that can be undermined by phishing, domain hijacking, or DDoS attack. Such infractions can diminish customer confidence and will tarnish reputation of your brand, making robust cybersecurity not only prudent, but vital. So check this out, because DomainSure is part of the EasyDNS enterprise platform. And this is something that, well, they are actively rolling out. And this is something that's going to make things more easy for you for protecting your DNS cybersecurity. And there'll be a strategic imperative to protect your data. And this is something I'm kind of learning on the go. I'm not too familiar with it, but we'll be talking about this much more in the next little while.
I think so, too. It's an important thing to, as is mentioned in the spot here, like, your brand, I mean, think about how much we trash the brands that come up a lot, right? We trash Microsoft. We even trash like some governments who just keep showing up, like the UK or whatever, just keeps having data stolen. like these people are not competent over there. And I'm sure there's other ones we've hit along the way. But yeah, I'm looking forward to discussing this more as the show continues, because this is some important stuff. And if you haven't checked it out yet, just go to domainshare.com and have a look. See what you think. Talk to the marketing team and decide if it's for you. I suspect that if you're using EasyDNS already, it probably is. And if you're not, this is something that's going to interest you if you do end up grabbing a domain and doing some work with EasyDNS as your partner. So definitely worth looking into.
DNS security is very important because organizations can protect their online brands, their customers, and essentially their bottom line. You don't want to sacrifice this for the name of being cheap or not understanding what it's all about. This is something that's very important in the online world. Ensure that you have control of it. If not, somebody else will. And at that point, you'll be kicking rocks and kicking yourself too at the same time.
It'll be too late for you. Just like it's too late to be recording a show here. Len's got to bounce. I got to bounce. Time to start the day. We hope you have a great Friday, great weekend. Don't forget to sign up, easydns.com, accessofeasy.com. Come see us every week. Come listen to us every week, wherever you get your podcasts, videos, and we will see you next Friday.
Yeah, take care.